football on off the ball.
That was the main thing that when I finished playing football. In other words, you're bringing the knowledge that you have over years of football to people who watch football.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Ball Breakfast
with UPMC Sports Surgery Clinic. When things don't move, rotate or bend like they used to, choose us to help you get back in action.
We're turning our attention to the League of Ireland, joined now on the line live by the former Cork City manager, Tim Clancy. Tim, good morning.
Morning, man. How are we?
Hey, Tim.
Thanks for hanging on there, Tim. We were getting mad into the All-Ireland quarterfinals, and rightly so, says you, as a Meath man. You must be delighted.
Yeah, I think it was an interesting weekend of football anyway. So I think the favourites going out in a couple of the games, and I sort of enjoying the discussion there you were having with Jim. About Jim and his statement after the game, whatever else. So it'll be good.
Well, are you, as part of the manager union, are you on Jim's side there? Could you see yourself saying something similar?
I've done the pro license with Jim. He's so intelligent, and there's definitely an angle to everything that he says. And I just think I'm not too sure if he's trying to distance himself from the. From the statement, or is he creating a sort of a siege mentality, or getting people back on side, or I'm not too sure, because I know there was complaints the week before about travelling all the way to, was it the Sligo for the game, or so look, there's angles beside it, but he's down to the nitty gritty of it now, so everything he says will be analysed, and maybe that's what Jim wants. He wants everything over analysed, and it's just a simple comment he's just thrown out there.
So from the time that you spent with Jim, you got to know him fairly well, I'd say, over that course. This is obviously something he said quite deliberately on Saturday night, you'd imagine, from him. It wasn't just a spur of the moment emotional reaction.
No, and especially because, as you said, he stopped the meeting and put the finger up to make sure, look, I want this out here. So there's a method behind it, all right. And I don't know, maybe it's because everyone's talking about the statement now, as opposed to maybe the first half performance, or where they were about 6-7 points down and they came back to win comfortably in the end. But I suppose it's wide open now to see who goes on and wins it.
It sure is. We're going to find out later today, actually, which teams are playing when. But the semi-finals will take place the 12th and the 13th of July. So we'll let you know as soon as we know that ourselves later on today. As for the League of Ireland, Tim, I might start with your old club, your very recent club, Cork City. It was a decent point on Friday night at home to St Patrick's at Lellick. And I'd say a big reason for that was Tane Troost in the Cork City goal. And then it's announced the next day by Cork City, of course, that Troost is leaving, along with Rio Shipston, who came on in that game. And it is just remarkable to me, Tim, that in this league, and we saw with Moses Dyer last week, scoring, getting sent off this day last week, and then he leaves the club, that things happen so, so quickly in the League of Ireland, don't they? It was like Troost is the number one goalkeeper, keeps a clean sheet on Friday night, the next day he's gone.
Yeah, I think... I think that there had to be, there was a clause in Tyne's contract when I signed him in January on loan. There was an option for him to go back to the club where he was, or you could activate a buyout clause. And I think that had to be lodged by the 30th of May. So I think that in the background, the club have probably been trying to get a deal sorted for Tyne in the last 4 or 5 weeks, and it hasn't been able to happen. So, start of the season, obviously, difficult times, and the club hasn't been doing great the first half of the season, but he's been a standout performer for sure. He'll be missed.
Is the backup goalkeeper option, would it be good enough to sustain a first place position for the rest of the league?
I think Connor's got a lot of potential. Yeah, Connor Brand's a big fella. He's got experience of going over, I think it was to Swindon. But listen, he hasn't played a lot of football in a long time, so I'd imagine... the manager will be looking to bring in his own keeper as well, but it's definitely a position that you need to have certainty of in the position that Cork are in at the minute.
Yeah. Does that squad need a lot of work, Tim, would you say?
Look, I'll be honest, from the start of the season I thought we were going to concede a lot of goals, but I thought we were going to score a lot of goals,
right.
And then it was just decimated with injuries from when I had them in January. I think the second game in we scored 4 goals in the first 2 games, I think it was. 4 points out of 6 to start the season. And then you lose Seanie Maguire, you lose Cathal O'Sullivan, you lose Malik Drixdale, you lost Greg Bulger, and then obviously Rory Keaton went as well later. when he ruptured his Achilles about a month later. So your whole attacking end of the pitch that you were sort of hanging your coat on, you're putting all the eggs in that basket, was gone. And then you have to try and change things around. And I'd say the new manager's looking at it himself, and he's got his own ideas, and will want to bring his own players in, which he's brought in two centre halves, big physical lads, and I think they'll probably do quite well. But yeah, I don't think I do think that there's a lot of very, very good players inside the building. And I just think if the new manager can steady the ship and get his stamp on things, I think they could be okay.
So Cork said they've only won twice in 22 games. They've drawn 9, which is actually the second most in the league, but they're cut adrift now at the bottom of the table. They're 4 points behind the closest, that Sligo Rovers. Do they have any opportunity at all to stay up, would you say, Cork City this season?
I thought it was a big goal on Friday night for Bowes.
Yeah.
Funny enough, Bowes getting their first draw of the season against Sligo at home. And listen, they could have won it in the last kick of the game, but that was a big goal, because if it goes to 6 points, it's two wins, and I think Sligo have a better goal difference as well. Like, so when it being 4 points, I think they play each other in a couple of weeks' time or this end of this month, and I think that's a massive, massive game, that if Sligo come out on top, it'd be a big, big ask for Cork to turn that around in the quick time that there is there. So, yeah, look, I think probably the best they can hope for now at the minute is second bottom playoff game, and that's not going to be easy with the way the first division is going this season as well.
You mentioned the equalising goal in that game, but the first one, Sligo Rovers, Jesus, what a goal by Owen Elding. It caught the internet by storm on Friday night. But for people who haven't seen it, picks up the ball just inside the opposition half, runs it a bit, untackled, but then shoots from, I'd say, about 35 yards out into the back of the net, right up high as well. Owen Elding, only 19 years old. From the little bit that you saw of him, Tim, how good is this guy?
He's a centre forward. I think he'll end up playing as an out and out centre forward, but he's been playing off the right quite a bit, which is quite clever from John Russell. I think John Russell's a very, very good manager. His obviously strongest part of the team, I think, for Russell would be down Sligo's left hand side. So Owen coming off the right wing in the back post as a natural centre forward, he's getting a lot of goals, and He's picking positions up where he's able to affect the game. I think when you look at a strike like that against Bowes, it's a standout moment. But he had one against Shells that got goal the month last month as well, which is very similar position. But he went across the goal, and I think there's talk of him now getting his international clearance for us. So I think that'll be an exciting one. And I think what Sligo done really well is they tied him down to a long-term deal with no get-out clauses and stuff. So hopefully they get financially rewarded for a player of that ilk if he does go to England.
Yeah, is that something Cork City should have done with Cathal O'Sullivan?
I think so, yeah. Look, this time last year I was telling the club to go and give Cathal a long-term deal, and it might cost money at the time, but they would have made it back tenfold, I'd say, if he had another 2 or 3 years left in his contract now. That's when they could really get the serious money from.
Is Elding's ceiling to play for Ireland, would you say?
I think, like I know he's played with his dad, so I know that he's done very well here. He's progressing well. I'd imagine so. I'd say every player that plays international football wants to play at the highest level, and I'm sure he's got aspirations to maybe go to England and play at as high of a level as possible over there now. So, but look, what he's doing this season so far, I know there's a lot of talk about Michael Noonan and Mason Mealy and Cathal O'Sullivan, but Owen flew under the radar for the first half of the season, or first part of it anyway, and scoring goals the way he's scoring now, and especially the eye-catching ones, he's very much put himself in the front of the queue for the best young players in the country.
I know this is a bit of a silly question, but what kind of value does somebody like Owen Elding have? Obviously, the only value is whatever anybody is actually willing to pay for him. But we have seen English clubs come, and there tends to be a concentration of two or three clubs who are interested in players. That drives the price to, you know, high six figures and sometimes seven figures. What is somebody like Owen Elding worth if he continues, say, for the rest of this season?
Look, he's I think Mason's move to Spurs has really opened up the door for other League of Ireland clubs to make sure they have players tied down. I think what Michael Noonan's doing at Shamrock Rovers is ridiculous for a player his age. He's leading the line for the biggest club in the country, the most high profile, and the one that probably gets the most scrutiny as well. And he's doing it effortlessly. So I think with Owen over in Sligo, he's at the other end of the table, but he's chipping in with just as many goals. Probably not in as dominant a team, obviously. But what clubs in England will look at straight away is they'll see that he's scoring goals, they'll see his age. They'll look to see what size he is. He's a big boy, similar to his dad. I hope he doesn't get as big as his dad. But no, he's very physically good. Technically, he's looking really good, and he obviously is a big moment player as well, because he's the one that Sligo were reaching to and looking towards. And he's only a teenager, and he's producing moments like Daly Mount Park the other day. And even though you're a Bows fan, you probably look at that and you go home and you talk about that as well. That goal was superb. So listen, he should, if again, I'm not trying to get Sligo to get rid of the kid, but if he is going to go, they should be starting to get seven figures for players of that quality.
Following their 1-0 win against Waterford on Friday, Shamrock Rovers now 11 points clear at the top of the table. Now, they do have two games played more than Derry City and Bowes, but for you, is the league done?
I find it very, very difficult to make a case for anyone else to win the league other than Rovers. Maybe 4 or 5 years ago, you'd have the conversation about, well, they're going into Europe and it's a busy period and they might take their eye off the league. But I think it's just so routine for Shamrock Rovers, the players and the staff there, that I think they thrive on the European games. And I don't think you'll see a dip in results in regards to the league fixtures around Europe. I think Shamrock Rovers, especially with Stephen in the last 4, 5, 6 years, even the league title they didn't win last year, they finished the season very strong. Strongly, so I can imagine that they'll do the same the second half of this season, and it's hard to put a case together for anyone else to challenge them.
It is, isn't it? So Derry beat Strahan 3-0 Friday, very comfortable victory, so they're second now. But we saw what happened with Derry last year and kind of last few years, Tim, is that right when it comes to it, the crunch, they kind of flatter to deceive. And then you have Bowes, who are level on points, same number of games played with Derry. Looks like they might be signing James Douglas Taylor, I should say, from Drogheda. So that might help them out, but it is hard to back against Shamrock Rovers. And then you kind of ask yourself the question, really, do they and Stephen Bradley get the credit that they deserve? Because winning the leagues for them was such a regular occurrence that you kind of started to take it for granted.
Yeah, and I think the way they responded after last season, I think Derry are probably a little bit different this year. I know they've invested heavily in the off-season. They brought in experienced players and they're going under the radar. I think probably to start, Tiernan had really lost a few of the first round of the game. Sorry, they didn't have a great start and they've sort of flew under the radar then. He's put 3-4 wins together there on the bounce. Mm. I know the two games in Dublin where they won over the Friday, Monday, and then backed it up that with a home win against Drogheda. But I just cannot see Shamrock Rovers dropping the sufficient amount of points for a Derry or a Bowes to stay as consistent at the minute. To get ahead of them in the league. I think Douglas James Taylor, if he does go into Bowes, there's a lot of talk of it. He'd probably give them that focal point up front that they're missing. Mm. James Clark's been playing as a false nine at the minute, which he's more of an attacking midfielder. So that could make Bowes obviously improve them. And again, look, if they finish strong at the end of this season, get into Europe and then build again in the off season, they could probably be the ones to get closer to Rovers next year.
Yeah, it's funny because Bowes have Shamrock Rovers' number as well in recent games, but it's just hard to see anyone be as consistent as Shamrock Rovers. So we'll see as the season progresses. How are you keeping anyway, post-management?
All good, yeah. Smiling, enjoying being at home. Obviously set up the business with the wife in the town, so that's flying at the minute. And yeah, look, I'm watching all the League of Ireland games. I'll start getting back to watching them and getting to grounds again soon enough. And then look, if something does come up in the future that someone thinks I might be able to have some use to them and myself, if it makes sense, I'm sure I'd like to go back in at some stage. But yeah, look, I'm really enjoying the time off and the Friday nights where I can sit down and enjoy watching games and looking over and not have the stress about results and other factors in the game.
Yeah, I was interested to hear that you're watching the League of Ireland because I was chatting with you last night. Have you seen any of this Club World Cup? And like most people, you haven't seen any of it really. And because we had Keith Long in studio only last week, Tim, and I was asking the same question. He's not really watching many games at the moment, but you are. So you've been able to separate management from, I suppose, a football fan straight away.
Yeah, look, and it's funny, like, because a lot of Premier League in England, I probably watch more Scottish football than Premier League in England, not based off what I think the league is better, but I'd have more connections in Scotland and know more people that are probably managing now or still playing or sporting directors or whatnot. So it's probably similar with the League of Ireland. I've had, three clubs as a manager, and I played here for three clubs as well. So there's a lot of connections there as well. And I'd have a good relationship with most of the managers in the league as well. So you want to keep an eye on things, and I'd still have me weekly phone calls with Big Kev up at Drogheda, and other managers of the league as well. Okay. So it's good, yeah. Like, it's good to keep in touch and be aware of what's going on and understanding where each team are at.
Would you have been in touch much with Damien Duff?
Damien, I would have just tic-tac with text messages every now and again. And listen, when I left Cork, he was the first manager, apart from Kev. I was on the phone to Kev on the way home in the car, actually, just after I left, even though it was half 11 at night. But Damien was the first one to to message me the next morning, just wishing me well and whatnot. And obviously, I sent him a message last week as well when he'd left. And it's a big blow losing Damien from the league. I think probably the biggest compliment you can pay him is going off his League of Ireland career. You'd never know he had the career as a player that he did. He was invested solely into the league, and he spoke up for Shells especially. And it's still, like, now it's a bit bizarre thinking he had 100 caps, he was in the World Cup team of the year, but he's just totally League of Ireland man the last 3.5-4 years, whatever it was. And I don't think there'd be many other people with his career behind them and profile that would have done as much for the league than Damien did.
It was so sudden, though, wasn't it, Tim? It was a bit like yourself. Like, the announcement, it came out of nowhere.
Yeah, look, I haven't spoken to Damien about it, so I don't know his reasoning. From the outside looking in, he's very much tough love is the style of management. And I think in the first couple of seasons there was a lot of love in the background, and then when he was tough publicly, the players probably listened to it and they were able to accept it. And then he's obviously won the league last year with them. Unbelievable achievement for Shelburne to win the league when you had teams like Shamrock Rovers and Derry and Pats and all spending money. So it was an unbelievable achievement. And it just felt that after every game this year, there seemed to be a lot of tough, but the love might not mean as much this season. And maybe Damien just got to the point where he said that he didn't think the players were maybe responding to him the way he had influenced them the previous years. And if you're in that position as a manager and you don't think you're getting as much out of players, and sometimes it's best to say, right, look, let someone else go in and have a go.
If you were to get involved again, would it only be as manager / head coach?
I don't know. That's the other side of it as well. I think the league is becoming more of an industry, and there is roles for other people at clubs. I think they're going to come more prominent in the next lot of years. So I think if you look at it, Damien's walked away, myself and Rory Higgins in the last 6 months or 7 months have walked away from jobs in the Premier Division. So maybe there needs to be better structures in the background for supporting managers that were in roles. It can be full on. I think the job that you do, I think you want to just be involved in just the football inside of it on a Friday night, but at the minute, the way we are, you're involved in a hell of a lot of other stuff around the club, which, effectively, it's probably given me a better grasp of maybe doing a sporting director role or director of football role, because you're sort of a hybrid version of that as a manager in the League of Ireland. If you don't have that, you have to do them sort of roles yourself. So I wouldn't rule out. I think with the right club and the right support system around you, I wouldn't mind going into one of them roles either.
Yeah. I sense there's definitely absolutely no regrets from your decision either.
No, look, it's the way it was coming to the end of my time at Cork. It was, I know I'd mentioned that I was exhausted and I was doing a lot of travelling. Yeah. Just the way things are, I think with the way the place is and the situation is in the country with housing and whatever else, I was sharing a house down there, so I couldn't. I would love to stay down there every day of the week and bring the family down the weekend, but I have a wife and four kids, and I was living in a single room myself, so they'd nowhere to stay when they came down. So it probably wasn't the best situation for me as family-wise that I was able to probably get them down there and do less travelling. So by the time it came near the end, I think I was in a house and there was a couple of players in the house as well. I don't think a manager should be living with players, so yeah. That's why I was commuting quite a lot in the last few months.
Yeah, geez, I didn't know that detail about your living arrangements. Yeah, it's not far from ideal. Like, I wonder if the money was better in the League of Ireland generally, would all of the workload and the commuting been a bit more palatable? Because it's also something we talked with Keith Long about too, that you're putting as much work in as managers in elite leagues across Europe, but the rewards, your remuneration just isn't there.
Yeah, look, and it is, but like, you go into the job knowing that that's the situation. It's not like you go in there, that's a big surprise. So I think it was a lot easier last year when you're winning games. That has a massive factor in it as well. If you're flying and you're winning games and you're top of the league, the journey seems a bit shorter every morning. But again, I think the way things have gone, I think if you look at it, I know Shamrock Rovers have a good setup. Luke Burns doing a brilliant job in a Shells, and Pat Fennan's in a Bows, and there's plenty of them positions being filled. And I think I'd say in another few years, I think every club will probably have a director of football or a technical director or whatnot. So, and it just does ease the workload. I think technology, you're getting a lot more with Y Scout and stuff like that. That's helping as well, but it's still not the same as getting to games yourself and watching teams play and understanding the atmosphere. Like, you can't tell by watching highlights if a crowd are on top of someone's back or whatever else. So it's still important to get the feet in the ground and to the games as well.
Tim, I had one last point. If you were on that pro license, was Keith Andrews on the same one?
No, he was. I think Keith was on maybe the one before me.
Okay.
Cut beforehand, but again, what an opportunity. It's brilliant. We haven't had a Premier League manager for, well, I think Martin O'Neill was the last one, maybe a good lot of years ago, so am I right?
Yeah.
Look, it's a brilliant opportunity, and it seems to be at a club that do things by the way they should be in the money ball type of thing. So it'd be interesting to see that, and sure, more eyes with Creevy and Keller going there as well. That there'd be more Irish eyes on Brentford now next season.
Yeah, totally.
Easy to get to as well.
Yeah. How did you get on with the players? Live with them, by the way. Is that all right?
No, I, to be honest, I was in with Craig Bulger, but then Sean Murray moved in, and that's when I stopped staying in the house there.
All right, Tim Clancy, pleasure. Nice one. Enjoy the week.
Cheers, guys. Thanks a million.
Good luck.